This podcast is a proud member of the Lamb Podcasting Network. Find the network at largeassmovieblogs.com.
Welcome to the Really Awful Movies Podcast, a celebration of low-budget cinema.
The sleep of reason gives birth to monsters.
Hi, I'm Chris, and along with Jeff, we're bringing you the very best and worst of horror, sci-fi, action, exploitation, kung fu, and women in prison movies from the 1970s to today. Be sure and check out reallyawfulmovies.com for reviews, interviews, lists, and terrific movie giveaways. From our downtown Toronto headquarters, here's episode 55, Double Impact.
Double Impact.
Twice the displeasure.
Yes.
Double your displeasure.
The word impact, to me, when I hear the word impact, I think, wow, this is forceful. This is impact. You know what I mean? If you double that impact, that's double the force, man.
Yeah.
That's double the pleasure. This is double...
Force equals mass times acceleration. We learned that in physics.
This is double the damage. This is double the Van Damme.
Yeah.
Yes. This is Jean-Claude Van Damme, JCVD.
And he is a force.
He is a force. And he's not playing one character.
No.
This is JCVD squared. He's playing two characters. He's playing twin brothers.
Yeah.
I mean, one JCVD is too much for the screen to handle. Mm-hmm. We've got two JCVDs.
It was too much for me to handle.
Too much for me to handle as well. Yeah. You know what, man? We're going to have to handle. We're going to have to rein this in, man.
Yeah.
We're going to have to talk about double impact.
He plays
twins. The impact. He does.
Twins. So,
yes.
Obviously, there's a good brother and an evil brother that goes back to antiquity, whether it's your Romulus and Remus or your Cain and Abel.
Bart Simpson and Hugo.
Yes. Joe and Dominic DiMaggio. I don't know. Was one of them evil? I don't know. Okay, I can't name any other brothers now. But these brothers here, one of, they're both, I guess, born in Hong Kong, and they are the sons of a construction magnate who is involved in a business venture, a tunnel. Yeah, and they are the
There's
heirs.
There's a lot of money in tunnels.
There is. They're the heirs to the tunnel.
It's funny. Do you remember, you've read Duddy Kravitz, right?
The Apprenticeship of Duddy Kravitz.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, remember the advice given to Duddy Kravitz? You got to own some land. You know, there's always money. You got to have, a man has to have land. Well, you know what? Let's update that for there's money in tunnels.
There's money in tunnels.
It's all about the tunnels, right?
Yes.
You know, land.
And speaking of tunnels, I mean, getting back to brothers, there's twin gynecologists played by Jeremy Irons in one of our favorites, Dead Ringers.
Yes, by David Cronenberg.
It would be rich to compare the acting prowess and talents of Jeremy Irons with the lack thereof of JCVD. but he's game, and he's playing twins.
Well, I mean, you know, the thing is this. I mean, Jeremy Irons is a master thespian. I mean, he's incredible in so many movies.
Yeah.
And he was incredible in Dead Ringers. However, could he do a set of splits?
Not now, but yes, maybe. Yeah.
Could he spin a roundhouse kick?
No.
I don't think he could.
No,
so, I mean, you know,
but could JCVD play the Pope?
Hey, I don't know, man. You know, but anyway, that's just, everyone has their own skill set, and you know. So JCVD, he's playing twin brothers. He's playing Chad,
and Alex.
And you know what? There's a lot of convolution in this movie. So you know, we're just gonna get right to the meat.
Right
to the meat. So basically, I mean, okay. So at the very beginning, blah 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 blah. Their parents get killed. Their parents get, you know...
Because there's competing business interests for the stupid tunnel, and the one gangster has them, you know, is in cahoots with another and kills this guy so they can get their bigger share of the funds from this construction project.
So there's double-crossing, and there's, you know, there's wonderful foreshadowing. Oh, don't worry, I can make it home alone, you know.
I don't need a bodyguard, you know.
Well, of course you can get shot to shit if that's going to happen, right?
Yeah.
And, of course, the parents of Chad and Alex get shot to shit.
Now, the bodyguard survives the melee.
Yes.
And he manages to, I guess, you know,
Abscond with one of the babies.
Yes, yeah. One of the babies who he takes to the States, mm-hmm. and he raises him. I mean, this is...
This is like a little science experiment. The twins raised apart. What's going to happen?
Right. Well, hey, man, I mean, yeah. You know, this is not new territory. We saw this with Julius and I don't remember the other character played by Danny DeVito in Twins.
Oh, yes, yes.
Julio. Yeah. This was, the immortal twins played by DeVito and Schwarzenegger.
And Schwarzenegger, yeah.
Twins who are separate and then put back together. But anyway, well, literally put back together, yeah. But, reconciled. But anyway.
Siamese twins, yeah.
That was Basket Case.
Yes.
Anyway, we have two twins. Mm-hmm. One of them is scurried away by some Hong Kong nanny, and he's raised by nuns.
In a French nunnery.
In the middle of Hong Kong.
Yeah, of course.
What the fuck is there? What the hell is there?
Well, we know why. We know why there's a French nunnery, because of the, terrible accent of Jean-Claude Van Damme, that they need to explain away that he's French.
Okay.
Ergo, French nunnery.
Okay.
Done.
But then the other one is raised by All-American Frankie.
He has a French accent.
There you go. So that theory is
maybe they may. Sure enough.
Yeah. So, I mean, Frankie, let's describe Frankie. I mean, he's a sort of like, he was a non-veteran. He's sort of like a...
He's a tough guy with a bald head and a mustache. Yep. I likened him to G. Gordon Liddy, Watergate burglar and right-wing blowhard.
Yeah.
He looks like that. He's a tough guy, means business.
Mm-hmm. He's good with the explosives, and that will come to play later on.
Yes, and his running of an aerobic studio sort of belies his badassery.
Exactly. Can you picture, Rambo, like, 8, if they ever made that movie, like, John Rambo.
They probably will.
One of these days. He is now, he's gone back to the NOM. He's rescued the POWs. This star, now he's gone to Burma. He's done what he could do. Now he's running an aerobic studio in a fucking purple leotard.
Yeah, yeah.
You haven't seen that movie, have you?
No.
Okay.
No.
Well, when we first meet up with the grown-up Chad.
The grown-up Chad, yeah.
He's wearing a fucking purple leotard.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's hilarious because he's standing there. And this is JCPD, okay? Just remember, there's two of them. So this is one.
This is the good one.
This
we'll
is the good
refer
one.
To him heretofore as the good brother.
The good brother. The good brother. He's...
He's been raised right by his, uncle.
Yeah, he's got a nice hairstyle. He's got some sort of, perm, little bouffant thing happening. And he's standing there wearing this purple leotard, leaving very little to the imagination.
No.
And he's got this harem of beautiful
aerobics class attendees. Yeah.
Yeah, he says, this in the first 10 minutes, he goes, and please forgive my bad French accent, ladies, because of my big legs, and my karate, and he does this ridiculous kick, I can also do the splits.
Yeah.
And there, boom.
There, yeah.
10 minutes, he's done the splits.
It's almost like he's contractually obligated in every movie. Yeah.
In every movie. Yeah. So there we go. In the first 10 minutes, splits are done. Thank God.
Yeah.
Right? So, Frankie, the bodyguard, I guess he's been this is supposed to be 25 years hence.
Yeah.
I guess he's been keeping tabs on Alex.
Yeah, he's often wondered, I guess, what happened to the other brother. He's kept tabs on him sort of loosely. Now, obviously, one's been raised under his charge, but he's kept tabs with the other one, and I guess...
He finds out that he's, wonder upon wonder, still in Hong Kong.
Yeah.
And he says to Chad, he goes...
Yeah, who's an aerobics instructor who's been conscripted to teach karate.
Oh, we got to talk about that scene. Let's talk about that scene. This is great,
This is an aerobics studio / dojo, so they have karate classes as well. And since the sensei was away, they decide to get good brother Van Damme to take over sensei role and teach this... teach karate to this class of people who are, dressed ridiculously in various multicolored geese.
They take umbrage to the fact that this man's going to teach him karate and he's wearing this purple leotard with,
they should. He's resplendent in purple.
But
and he's supposed
time,
to come in and show them how to kick
but
ass.
But they're wearing pastel pink and
true.
Purple and green geese.
This is true.
Is not, Bruce Lee, right?
And one of his students is a ponytailed Brit. He's obviously disgusted by that they'd get some guy who's like better off teaching Pilates, to a class so that he comes in. He's supposed to listen to him.
Yep.
Yeah, Taibo, and he
Billy
just
Barnes,
tries to, take him on and
couple good spin kicks later, yep.
Drops him like a, you know, mm-hmm. like a bad habit right there on the floor.
So, for reasons that are somewhat
nebulous
mm-hmm. and hard
very
to
much
decipher,
yeah.
Frankie, I guess he wants, whether to get revenge for his charges, you know, the death.
Yeah, his boss's murder or something.
Or,
I don't know why.
Also, so that these guys can, like, you know, they're the heir to this tunnel fortune. Like, yeah, that.
Whatever vested interest he has, he tries to reunite the brothers.
Right. So he says, you know, you have to fly to Hong Kong and.
Yeah, take your accent and French accent and fly to Hong Kong and meet your fraternal twin here. Or your identical twin.
Or your identical twin, yeah, exactly. And then, so next thing you know, you got JC Fidi the Good, and he's on the plane, again, wearing this ridiculous, like, this tucked in green polo shirt, and he's pink short shorts, and he gets off the plane in Hong Kong, no jet lag, good for him,
yeah,
and he goes to this underground mahjong parlor.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, there's this underground economy happening in Hong Kong, and JCVD the Good walks in, and
he's a fish out of water, yeah.
He's a fish out of water, but yet people recognize him. They're like, hey, what's going on here? And somebody, mm-hmm. like, slaps a wad of cash in his hand, and he goes, hey, cash money, I love Hong Kong, right?
Yeah.
And then this comely blonde lass walks in and is like all over him, right?
Yeah.
So he's just like, whoa, this is great. Then another.
Yeah, his reputation, I guess, preceded him because he has a twin.
Right. And then the twin walks in, and we know he's bad because he has a slick back Pat Riley hairstyle.
Yeah.
He's got a stogie.
Or Baldwin brother hairstyle.
Yeah. He's got a stogie that's most of the time unlit,
leather.
And he wears like a leather duster.
That's bad news.
And he greets his identical, long lost 25 year twin brother with not a hug,
a headbutt.
Not a handshake, but a headbutt.
Knocks him cold. Yeah.
Yep. Which is natural, right? You would do the same.
Yes, to my long lost brother.
Right.
Natural instinct.
And when Chad comes to, and and Frankie is trying to explain, like, hey, this is your long lost twin brother, you know, of 24 years.
I don't have a brother or something.
Yeah, he goes, you got both of you 10 seconds, so get the fuck out.
Yeah.
Like, man, come on.
Come on, yeah.
You know, is this how you would treat your long lost twin brother?
Not I.
Nor me. Anyway.
The world is fine with just one of us.
Yeah.
Both. Yeah.
I would say so. So there is a another layer of convolution here, in the sense that,
well, the evil brother has been raised in an orphanage by nuns.
Okay.
And he is obviously is not, you know, fared as well, and has a rough sort of upbringing.
Mm-hmm.
And he's gotten himself involved in the criminal underworld.
Right, but the interesting thing is that the criminal underworld, I mean, he's working for a man named Zhang,
mm-hmm.
who is partnered with a man named Griffith, who are both complicit in the death of their parents,
yeah.
Unbeknownst to him,
yeah.
And his girlfriend also works for Griffith. This is the comely blonde we were talking about earlier.
Yes.
He deals in contraband, and he's, you know, he sells...
He's a smuggler of the finest cognac.
Cognac.
Which would be great to have right now.
It would be,
and we're enjoying several beers at this point, but, yeah. You know, you can't turn down a wonderful VSOP cognac.
Yep, yeah. Pass a Crevassier.
Right? Yeah.
Cognac, cigarettes, and Mercedes,
mm-hmm.
and before you know it, they're on the high seas,
yeah,
and they've got Mercedes Benz,
yeah,
on a boat,
yeah, they're on a junk, and they're trying to escape the
Hong
Kong Marine Unit police,
mm-hmm.
and in order to get away, they got to obviously lighten their load, so in true, you know, in true action fashion, they drop their cargo into the South China Sea.
They jettison
these hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of vehicles.
Yeah.
And they shoot them.
And they explode.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
It's an action movie, and a bad one at that. Every car that's shot at explodes.
Right.
That's the rule of action.
It's like, forget the fact that, like, you know, they didn't go anywhere near the gas tank, you know, they shot the windshield, but the car fucking explodes.
Yeah.
Who the hell cares?
Maybe the J.D. Power survey people will figure out, you know, maybe these cars should be impervious to bullets, but
which leads us to this non sequitur of Alex, the bad JCVD, going up to Chad, the good one, handing him a Mercedes emblem, and saying, "Welcome to Hong Kong."
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
whatever that means.
Here we are. We're in Hong
yeah.
Kong.
Yeah.
So Griffith is this sort of British nebulous guy working for Zhang, and Zhang has got
a double crosser.
He's got these henchmen, you know, mm-hmm. all these mulleted Asian and also Caucasian henchmen.
Yeah.
And
first and foremost among whom is
The great.
The great Bolo Young.
Bolo Young.
If you're named after a punch, which is what a bolo is, it's a type of punch,
and that a tie.
You are badass.
It's a tie as well.
Yes. Yeah. 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 I guess if you're attending the Kentucky Derby or
right.
like
well,
Mark
mean,
Twain or something, wear a fucking bolo tie.
But, I mean, this is Bolo Young. I mean, he was in Kickboxer. He was in Bloodsport. He was also Chinese Hercules.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a movie I reviewed on the site. I mean,
incredible pecs.
The man of the... Yeah, the guy has got, like, ginormous pecs. He's a D-cup. I mean, him and Dolly Parton could, like, you know, have a, you know, go chest to chest. But anyhow, Zhang is involved in the drug trade, and they realize that they have to disrupt this drug trade, so they get to, they invade this nebulous factory, God knows
yeah,
where.
Yeah, the lab.
Who the hell knows what they're doing?
The Coke lab, manufacturing the finest.
And then we get to, the most ridiculous scenes of, like, okay, so... I don't know, was it Chad, was it Alex? One of them was, like, told to stay outside... And the other one goes in, and I think this was Alex. I mean, honestly,
yeah, he's the one more familiar with gunplay,
right?
He's obviously he's in part of the underground economy, not the aerobics instructor world. So he's obviously has better affinity with the weaponry.
But does he look as good in leotard?
I'll leave that to you.
Anyhow, so they're of course there's a whole shootout, and I mean this is the bullet ballet, but this is like ridiculous because Alex is, like, literally doing, like, pirouettes and somersaults and cartwheels around with a gun, a pistol in each hand, shooting and hitting the target each and every time. You know? Pew, pew, bang, bang, bang. Meanwhile, 100 henchmen of Zhang are, like, trying to shoot
a good henchman
one
is very hard to find.
A good henchman.
Maybe they need to set up a staffing agency for henchmen and have them properly vetted so as not to just emerge from behind a post and shoot without ducking behind it like our heroes did.
And I think the first question on the application should be, can you hit a target if he's standing still?
Yeah, from 50 yards.
Yeah,
or whatever.
Forget about moving.
Yeah,
but, like, he's standing still, you know? Anyway, you know what? I mean, on and on. I mean, this is...
Yeah, this is a ludicrous gun battle, and then our heroes jet off to an island to formulate a further plan.
Right.
And
meanwhile, on the mainland, this girl, Griffiths... not Griffiths, sorry. She's working for Griffith.
Yeah.
This is Danielle, the girlfriend of Alex, finds a file.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like...
A damning file.
We live in the day and age of, like, you know...
Destroy
identity
those
theft,
those damning documents.
And encryption.
Yeah,
and, like, anything, you know, like, people are very... But, you know, in these movies, like, you know, there's always, like, a memo or a file. Like, something so incriminating. Oh, my God, I found the file. You're so right. Griffith works for Zhang.
Yeah.
And I didn't believe you before, but now I found the file.
Yeah.
And based on this file, you know, I've also found out that Zhang was a club called the Climax Club.
Mm-hmm.
I want to go to that club.
Yeah, I do too.
Sounds pretty good.
Yeah.
I wonder how it ends. And he's having a clandestine meeting to discuss the drug, operation, seeing as that their factory got or whatever the hell
shot to shit. Yeah.
So our two brothers, both dressed resplendently in tuxedos,
mm-hmm.
make their way in with Frankie as well. He's also he's dapper in his tux, and
they're trying to get close to him by bringing him some
crates of cognac,
just to say, like, oh, business as usual. Let's if they weren't the ones involved in this plot to shoot up his lab.
Yep.
Yeah, but.
And I love it because they walk in there and there's this, generic 90s dance music playing, mm-hmm. when they come in there and when that comes, hey, what are you doing? He's like, hey, you do a better French accent than me.
Oh, yeah, yeah. All right, what's the quote?
Something about, this is the cognac or whatever, they want.
This is the cognac, you ordered the boss or whatever.
And then he turns around, there's another one bringing the cognac.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, okay.
No, I never ordered this much cognac. Something must be amiss.
Meanwhile, instead of crevasse, it's, explosives. Mm-hmm. And there's Frankie, ready to blow this club up, and he does. And then we get another ridiculous, scene of, shoot him up. And I love this one scene where in the middle of the gunfire, one of the brothers, I don't even know who, picks up a glass of cognac, sips it, and for some reason just crushes the glass.
It, yeah.
And then just gets back to firing. So,
yeah.
I mean, just completely...
And there was a glass that also shattered against the noggin of one of the henchmen in such easy fashion.
Oh,
you'd never imagine.
Well, I mean, that's the thing, man. Like, glass is breakable. Glass is fragile. But if I took you... I mean, I live on the seventh mm-hmm. floor of a high-rise, okay?
Yeah, assisted by gravity, a bottle will shatter on the ground.
But
off my skull...
Right. But if I took you right now...
I threw up against my window. Would you go flying through it?
Yeah.
Down, you know, to I don't think you would. You know? But in movies, whenever there's a pane of glass and somebody gets thrown, that glass is going to shatter. Yep.
As I said, force equals mass times acceleration. Indeed. And Jean-Claude Van Damme is a force.
He is a force. And so there's that. And then next thing you know, these two brothers are hiding out in some abandoned hotel in the middle of God knows where.
Yeah. And they're holding up, you know, they're, you know, holed up in this, yeah, I guess it is some abandoned inn. Mm-hmm. And it's all cobweb addled. And yet, this one of these brothers has spent all of a month in Asia. Mm. And he is flummoxed and befuddled by the food when he gets there. And he doesn't know how to use chopsticks or eat dumplings or whatever. But then all of a sudden, these two guys become like ramen noodle specialists. They start making and hanging noodles in this safe house.
Yeah.
That was nuts. And then that's where, I guess, they come to loggerheads over this woman.
Well, yeah, because Danielle is back on the mainland. And I forgive me, I don't remember what happened, but there's this gigantic 90s cell phone. It was like one of those, like, you know, enormous, like, you know, the thing was about as big as, you know,
the size of a football,
basically. Yeah, yeah. And, you know, he calls up and says, "I'm in sort of, I'm so, okay," because there was that female bodybuilder woman who was Griffith's bodyguard.
Yeah, something to that effect. And Lena trying to, you know, she was trying to suss out details about the ownership of this tunnel, and she got wind of it and starts to, you know, suspect something is amiss by this sort of spy among the ranks.
And there's some sort of sapphic sort of...
Yeah, there's a weird sort of subplot.
So, but Danielle is dating Bad Van Damme.
Yes, but Bad Van Damme smacks Danielle around.
Yes, he does. But then Good Van Damme
is charming to her.
Yeah, he speaks to her rescue, and, you know, he rescues her.
He's
and
a white knight.
Yeah, and then they decide to not think of a euphemism.
Yeah, I'm not sure. So, I guess she doesn't really distinguish between...
No, she knows, I think.
She knows, but she doesn't. They are genetically identical.
Anyway, so they fuck.
They do. And
she fucks.
And Good Van Damme really rocks her world.
Right, and meanwhile, now I think, like, what is this, the Korskin brothers? Like, they have sort of, like, psychic link, because as they're screwing... Bad Van Damme is going to
fucking the same thing happened in Dead Ringers. One of the doctors, they were, you know, a woman was involved with both of them. Mm-hmm. Although in that case, I think it was unknowingly. And they just sort of subbed in and out.
Well, anyway, all I can say is that while Cash stripping Danielle, Alex is going apeshit. He's drunkenly wandering around this hotel, punching walls, destroying staircases. I don't know why. Cat comes back, he goes, "Hey, Mr. California, Mr. Silk Underwear."
Yeah.
You know, and then Cat says, "Alex, you're drunk." He goes, "I may be drunk, but you are a faggot."
Yeah, yeah.
The guy just stripped his girlfriend, but he's a faggot for some reason.
And then they have it
clearly out. Clearly 90s, you know, and they have it
they
out.
They have it out with a massive, massive melee.
Because if you have two Van Dams, they gotta fight.
No, they got it, They gotta throw it down. Only one can be left standing.
Right, but well, thankfully, both are left standing, because before you know it, Zhang is invading this island.
And Frankie intervenes, saying, "You guys better not kill each other, we have bigger fish to fry," and that fish comes in the form of Zhang.
You know what's hilarious? Remember how we stopped the fight? He shot a machine gun
into the air.
Right in their, like,
right in their safe house. But not a good thing to do.
No, but, like, right in front, like, remember we were talking about cliches, and you were talking about, like, the damage to the earlobe?
Yeah, yeah.
You shoot a gun?
Nothing happens.
Nobody cares. Anyway, whatever. Zhang, you know, invades more carnage, more shooting, more kicking. There's one scene where it appears as if Frankie is shot dead, and we get the great... Griffith, dead! Yeah. You know, and
but rest assured, he's only mortally wounded and being tortured and hung up in chains.
Yep.
So he still has time to be saved by the, you know, fraternal duo here.
Yep. Now, ultimately, it comes down to a mano fisticuffs between
Zhang and
before Zhang, and we have Chad versus Bolo Young, and this is. Ultimately ludicrous, because, I mean, this is Van Damme versus Bolo Young, so, you know, in the middle of this throwdown...
they're reprising their fight from Kickboxer.
Kickboxer, Bloodsport, yeah.
Bloodsport, yeah.
Bolo tears
Van Damme's shirt off, and vice versa.
And then, he takes off his own shirt and he starts flexing as if it's like he's Hulk Hogan before, like, you know, WrestleMania 7. Is that necessary? I don't think so. They fight. Van Damme gives the guy 8, 9, 10 spin kicks to the head.
Yeah.
Roundhouse kicks. You were saying earlier about, we were talking about how the roundhouse kick is probably one of the most stupidest things to do in a fight because...
Yeah, well, the slippery barroom floor, and you exert tons of energy. Well, they weren't in a bar, but just generally, to spin around is not good. Just the quickest distance between 2 points. A punch can be thrown in 0.7 seconds. You don't need to leap up and do these flying taekwondo helicopter kicks. It's just the level of absurdity.
And what I really love, though, is that Bolo is throwing barrel after barrel after barrel, and this is a direct
homage. The barrel-chested Bolo is throwing barrels.
What's great is at one point he throws a barrel, and Van Damme just kicks
it, after he tries to crush him with the barrel.
Yeah.
Like, roll out the barrel, roll out the barrel of fun. Barrel of fun.
Anyway, finally, you know, these spin kicks have absolutely no effect on Bolo, but one of them just kind of pushes him a little off kilter and gets electrocuted, which leads us to,
the final showdown of Bad Van Damme versus
Zhang, and I guess we'll stop there. We don't want to spoil everything for our listeners, although, you know, I mean, maybe we'd be doing them a favor by spoiling them. But the one thing I got to say, I mean, there was a lot of things that happened in this movie. It should have caused a lot of, like, damage, if not fatality, that did not, okay? Like, we talked about shooting a gun right in the vicinity of someone's ear, not even, like, deafening them. There was a point where Bad Van Damme puts Zhang's hand through, like, these two grinding gears.
Like gears,
And he pulls it out, and the hand's just semi-bloody. Yeah. Like, there's not even like, a fractured bone. That at one point, one of the villains, a shipping crate is dropped on him. I thought that at this point he'd be like Wile E. Coyote and just shake it off, you know what I mean? And bounce back. I mean, there's so many things that could have just killed people that just did not.
At one point, a shipping container, which features prominently in this movie, early Bolo Young beats the shit out of good Van Damme and knocks his head against the shipping container. Later, they try and drop a shipping container onto Van Damme, and he leaps into this dirty Hong Kong harbor and escapes this massive multi-tonned shipping container dropping on him. But, you know, just wild, wild-ass movie. Rating.
Yeah, how many spin kicks in the face would you give this one on our patented rating scale, 1 to 5? I don't know.
Entertaining, not wholly recommendable. Consistently okay.
Yeah,
3.
Yeah, I would say about that. I would give it 3 spin kicks. I mean, I wasn't bored. There was enough ludicrousness for me to, you know,
for sure
entertain. What did you learn from this piece of double shit? Well, but then again, before I say that, I mean, I gave it a 3 because this double impact. Do I have to now
give it a 6?
Give it a 6 times 2?
No.
Oh, thank God. Okay.
It exceeds our 1 to 5, ranking. What did I learn?
Let me start then, okay?
Okay.
I learned a lot. I learned the fact that this, you know, despite having, you know, two twins separated at birth, okay? Mm-hmm. One being raised in Hong Kong.
One in California or whatever,
California. That's Arnold. I don't know why. But anyway.
It comes back to twins.
They both grew up with Belgian French accents.
They both grew up incredible karate experts as well.
Yes, that too. Yeah. That too. I learned...
Nature trumps nurture.
But more so, I learned that the mullet...
Ubiquitous.
The ubiquitous mullet, you know, the hockey haircut, you know, this is the front part and the back. I mean, this was the early 90s. It was a popular hairstyle, God knows why. I sported one, I think you did as well.
Yes, I did.
I did not realize the cultural reach of the mullet, because, I mean, it made it all the way to Hong Kong. Everybody was sporting a mullet. I mean, even Bolo Young had a mullet, you know what I mean? It was a Bolo mullet, you know? But, I mean, the mullet was just everywhere. So, I mean, I learned that the mullet was just...
Yeah, and you know, speaking of mullets and seafood, like, I've had mussels in Brussels.
Okay.
I've eaten mussels in Brussels, and, you know, this is the mussels from Brussels, and I gotta say, this left me with a little case of indigestion, and maybe seafood poisoning.
This
is kind of, you know, I was charitable giving it 3-star, but it's kind of crappy. I think my perception of this film is colored by just my love and lauding, and just in... You know, I'm thrilled with everything Jean-Claude Van Damme has ever done. Mm-hmm. I saw all his movies in the theater as a kid, and I cannot just discount this work
Are you a little steamed right now?
I'm a little steamed. like a muscle. Yeah.
Bad joke, I know.
Yeah.
The other thing I learned, too, is that, hey, you know, one Van Damme is enough, man. I don't need two.
It's true.
It's just too much Van Damme for my for me to take.
And, yeah, and for more, I guess, check out our site, www.reallyawfulmovies.com.
And, hey, check it out twice.
Yeah. You know? Double your pleasure.
Double your fun.
We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Take care.